So this meat of is my baptism, or is my Christian, is my how should I put it? Salvation is personal. Salvation is born into a family. Hallelujah.
Amen.
My salvation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The more reason why we care for one another. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Did you get that? The more reason you hear Paul say to the church in.
Do you understand? Because we are born into a family. We are born into Christ. We are one. Say we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Hallelujah. We all constitute the members of Christ. Hallelujah.
So it's not, you see, it's not denominational affiliation. No. It has nothing to do with denomination. Hallelujah. In the body of Christ, there's no denomination. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Because even we could turn from the scripture where the issue of denomination started. Do you understand that? We could look at even the scripture. If you go to Acts of Apostles chapter 15, that's where you begin to have denominations. Hallelujah.
Amen.
People that have, this is what I believe in Christ, but no, we have one faith. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So now let's go. Now Paul talks about this is who we are. We are one in him. Glory to God. Now let's look at verse 6. He changes his tone in verse 7. He said, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure. The word measure there is the word matron. I mean, yeah. It's what that means, portion. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said, each one of us is given grace according to the measure of Christ's dogma. Of Christ's gift, sorry, carries. Hallelujah. Now let's look at this. He said, to each one of us is given grace. The grace he's talking about here is grace for ministry. Hallelujah. It's grace for ministry. Now he begins to change the tone. He said, to each one of us. Hallelujah. Yes, we have one faith, one baptism, one calling, one hope. Do you understand? Now he said, to each one of us is given, because he's about to say something now. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. From what we just read before now, look at 1 Corinthians. Quickly, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20, verse 13. For verse 12, he said, for as the body is one and has many members, so all the members of that body, being many, are one body also in Christ. Did you get that? Did you see that we are one in him? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said, for by one spirit. He said, we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greek, whether slave or free. We have all been made to drink of one spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We did the indwelling of the spirit. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the same way too, he shifts in the book of 1 Corinthians. He shifts the same way he shifts into in Ephesians. He changes his tone. If you read that 1 Corinthians, he now goes down. He now said, he says, now, verse 27, it says, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Did you see? And God has appointed this in the church. Now he's not discussing ministry. Hallelujah. Did you get that? Hallelujah. The same way too, in Ephesians chapter 4, as soon as he's not talking about we are one body, he changes the tune. Hallelujah. Now he now shifts to what? Gift for ministry. Romans chapter 12, he did the same thing too. Romans 12. Let's look at verse 5. Quickly. Concept of righteousness. Hallelujah. You know, Romans 12. Romans 5. 12. Okay. Let's look at verses 3. Okay. It says, for I say, we'll still look at verse 2 as we go ahead today. He said, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but soberly as God has dealt with each and every one of us. He said, the measure of faith. Hallelujah. Now, when he talks about the measure of faith, you know, there is this, yes, I've been once in this error, but I'm out of it. Hallelujah. The error of, in every one of us, I've been given little faith. You know, there are different levels of faith. Keep quiet. That's nonsense. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That was like, yes, there's a level of faith. There is the faith that can move mountains.
Mm.
There's a faith that cannot move mountains but can heal the sick. Keep quiet. Hallelujah. You understand? He said, no, we are different. We have different sizes of faith. Some people were given small faith, you now grow it. Keep quiet. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you understand that? Keep quiet. Because the Bible never teaches you that. Now, when he said, he's dealt, he said to each of us, God has dealt to each one of us a measure of faith. You know, remember I said if you take a scripture out of context, you can give it any wrong meaning.
Hallelujah.
So when you read the scriptures, you must read it in context of what he's talking about. Hallelujah. Now when he talks about to each and every one of us is given a measure of faith, he's talking about faith for the in the office of ministry. Hallelujah. You will see that as we go to verse 4. He said, for as we have many members in one body, but not all the members do have the same functions. So we being many are one body in Christ. So when he said, not all the members have one function, that is the faith he's talking about. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Did you get that? That's the faith he's talking about. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He said, having gifts. They're not having them give differing according to the grace. Now the grace here is grace for ministering. Gift according, Jonathan, did you get that?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Not, you mean my own grace is speaking in tongues, my own grace is that we give quietly. That one, a gift of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12. Amen. Now what he's talking about is gift, the gift of ministering. Did you get that? Hallelujah. So that is why when you read scriptures, you must read it because the scripture is written as a letter. You know, when Paul was writing, he didn't write in chapters. He didn't write in verses. Paul wrote a letter. So how would you now read the scripture? You read it the way it was read when Paul wrote. Hallelujah. You remember I said English has evolved, but the scripture, understanding the scripture did not evolve with English. Do you understand? So the way I must read scripture today should be the way it was read when it was written. Do you understand me? Because if you try to read it with contemporary English, you will fall into different kind of issues. Issues like the young guy that said he knows Paul's father because Paul said my old man was crucified. Do you understand me? The young man that will come and tell you, we now know. You will get to heaven, you see God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know? Because of what? Contemporary English. Do you understand me? Do you understand me? Contemporary English will tell you, and he said, he that will come after will baptize with the Holy Ghost and fire. Say, Jesus has the Holy Ghost, he has fire. So he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. No! Do you understand? So when he said Holy Ghost and fire, if you need to know the way what you were written, then when he said Holy Ghost and fire, he spoke about Holy Ghost, sky, fire. Meaning Holy Ghost, which is fire. Do you understand that? Now, if you don't read scripture the way it was written then, you would think John 3 verse 5 and verse 3 are saying that, but talking about different things. He said, except you one is born of the with the Holy Spirit and with water. You say you think he's talking about spiritual, when you are born again, you can't go for water immersion. No. He's talking about the fact that you have to read it the way it was written then. You have to read it that way. Are you hearing me? So the way it was written then is, that one is born with the Spirit, which is water. Now, when you now take that water, now look at what water is in the context of Christ's usage. All the while Jesus used the word water, he used it to signify the Spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. He said, this is spoke concerning the Spirit. He said, I am the living water. He who drinks of me will not go thirsty again. He speaks of the Spirit. So in the usage of Christ, water signifies Spirit. Did you get that? Hallelujah. So that's how to read Bible. Are you hearing me? That's how to read Bible. Glory to God. And that's how I recommend the book of my mentor for us. Understanding, is it understanding? No, reading, reading the Bible in a simple way by Pastor Cheryl Chris. Bible study in a simple way, understanding, reading Bible in a simple way, just get it. Hallelujah! It's just 1,000 naira. Get it, and you understand Bible, you reading scriptures in context. Hallelujah! You will know how to read scripture in context. Hallelujah! So, you not fall into traps of some people. Hallelujah. You don't read it, you don't pick it out of context. So what Paul is explaining here, a measure of faith is in reference to what? Ministering. Let's go back to Ephesians 4. We'll look at that. We'll see that shortly. Ephesians 4, quickly. Hallelujah. Okay. He said, there's one body, one spirit, verse 4. Oh, we're in verse 7. He said, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure, metron, of Christ's gift. Therefore, he said, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Let's take that word. He led captivity captive and gave gifts to men.
That word
and gave gift to men is the word kai didomi domaho anthropos. Let's take it again. It's the word that means, listen, take it.
This is Bible study.
Hallelujah. You see, the church is a Bible school. That is the way, you know, when Christ was to leave his disciples, he told them, go make students. That is, didn't tell them, go make students, go make disciples, students of the world. So that is God's plan, is that the church is the place where we are taught the word of God. You don't need to go to a Bible school. You learn from the church. That's the reason for the local church. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you with me? That's true. Church, I've told you, you will not be sitting in front when I'm teaching. You'll be distracted.
Now he said, and he gave gift to me. Take the word. The word is the word kai didomi doma ho anthropos.
Kai didomi doma ho anthropos. Now, that word means, we'll still look at, we'll dissect this word very well when we begin to discuss, as we go ahead on believer's conduct. I will dissect it. Hallelujah, do that. Now, the word kai, I mean, the word didomi means give. It's the word that means give. Now, word give is, it talks about the character of the one who gives. Much more. Do you understand me? How something is given. Hallelujah. And who is he referring to? God. Hallelujah. Now, if you look at all through the way didomi is used, it's used for how God gave freely. Hallelujah. How God gave freely. Now, he said, and he gave gifts. The word gift is the word doma to men. Now, let's look at that word. That word is better understood as the way I wrote it in the Greek. Kai didomi doma ho anthropos is the word that means and gave gift as men. That word ho, which is used as unto, is the same one that translates what as. Now, let me tell you the way the English or the way translators will now do it. When translators see a word, now they play around with words most often. How? As they translate. And that's how most times you see us go through back to the Hebrew so that we better understand it the way it is. Do you understand? Now, the word ho is the word that is used, it means ha, as in, sorry, it means to, in, onto. Do you understand me? Now, a translator will now look at that word and now look at what to him he feels is the best literal translation to that word. And as you pick up different translations, you see different ways it was used. Hallelujah. So a translator can pick what he wants. But if you look at it the way the scripture was written, did you get me? It is and gave gift as men. And do you know why it's like that? Listen, it's like that because verse 11 will now tell us why it's like that. The gift that is men. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
A second. I will do this before now, but let me quickly do it. Psalm 68 verse 18, where Paul quoted from. He said, and he ascended on high and led captivity captive and received gift amongst men. Now, did you see how translators use words? And he was, did you see this? And he received gift amongst men. Did you understand that? Hallelujah. Even from the rebellious, that the Lord might dwell there. Hallelujah. That the Lord might dwell there. Remember, the psalm talks about Christ.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. So, talks about Christ's work.
And he received gift amongst men.
Did you get that?
And he gave gift as men. That is how Paul now puts it. He gave gift as men.
Now, let's just read. Go back to that Ephesians 4. Look at how I want to read. I will skip verse 9, verse 10 are explanation of verses 8. Do you understand me? Now let's see how I will read. Now let's see. And therefore he says, I will from verse 8 to verse 11. Read with me. And therefore he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts as men, and he gave some to be. Did you see that? Did you see that? Did you not see the gift as men? And he gave some to be apostles, some prophets. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors. Now the word and some pastors and some teachers is not pastors different from teachers. Say and some pastors, teachers. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. So he gave gift as men. So very important, we know that the gift of God is in man. Much more in the man of God given to you in the local church. The gift of God is in man. Much more in the man that God has given to you in the local church. The scripture will refer to them as elders. The scripture will refer to them as elders. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Verse 17, quickly, let's see that. 1 Timothy 5, 17. Verse 17, are you there? Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in word and doctrine. Did you see that? Let the elders who rule well. Acts 15. Go back to Acts 15. We're looking at this together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, verse 6. After the report of some people teaching wrong things, now the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter. The apostles who are elders. Did you see that? That is the word car. The apostles who are elders came together to consider this one. Meaning they are the ones in charge. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. But Paul helps us. Paul now breaks it down for us in Ephesians to make us know who these elders are. The position they can occupy. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Do you understand me? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you understanding this? Okay. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can get the message. I'll remember. Okay, we'll get the message later. I'll tell you the message to listen to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So these are who you refer to as elders. Hallelujah. Now, what are the duties of the elders in the church? The elders are not the gray-headed men.
They're not the men that sits in front. The elders are the leaders in the church. The elders are the leaders. No, Timothy was a pastor's pastor. You know what I mean? He was a pastor that pastored other pastors. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? Now, that is why in 2 Timothy 2, you hear him say, the word which you heard from me among many brothers, the same commit to faithful men, you will be able to teach others also. So, Timothy was to pastor other pastors.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you understand me? So, now, an elder is one who is a leader in the church. What kind of leader? No choir leader. Not a band leader.
We don't have that yet. Glory to God.
Leader. Leader, one who is responsible for souls. One who is responsible for the growth of men. That's an elder. Hallelujah. We'll see that shortly. What is their duty? We'll look at from verse 11 of that Ephesians 4. Verse 11, he said, and he gave some apostles, where that verse 12, he said, for the equipping of the saints. Did you see that word? He said, for the equipping of the saints. He said, for the work of the ministry. He said, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. He said, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That is the work of the elders, to see the spiritual growth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the work of the elder is to equip believers for the work of ministry. Do you understand me? To equip believers for the work of ministry. When was the first time the word elders was used? We'll find out in Exodus chapter 18. Let's look at Exodus 18 quickly. Jethro and his son-in-law Moses. Quickly. Exodus 18. That will give us a better understanding of how the word. So the word elders, it was not coined by Paul. Hallelujah. Paul saw it, how it was used in the scriptures. Glory to God. Exodus 18. Are you there? I'll read from verse 14 into verse 18. He says, so when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did for the people, he said, what is this that you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit and all the people stand before you from morning till evening? Moses was a pastor of all, was doing all the job. And Moses said to his father-in-law, because the people come to me to inquire of God. And what to inquire of God means to be taught of God. Or to be taught. Do you understand me? To inquire of God so that he will teach them about God. Do you understand that? Now, let's go ahead. And Moses, verse 16. Then they have difficulty. They come to me and I judge between one and other and the other. And I make known the statutes of God and his laws. That is teaching. Do you understand me? Now look at verse 17. So Moses said, Moses' father-in-law said to him, the thing you do is not good, though. Both you and these people who are with you will surely wear yourself out. You go tire. Do you understand me? It's not good. You wear yourself out. Hallelujah. For this thing is too much for you. You are not able to perform it by yourself. Listen now to my voice. I will give you counsel, and God will be with you. Stand before God. And for the people, so that you may bring the difficulties to God, and you shall teach them the statutes and the laws, and show them the way in which they must walk, and the work they must do. Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. That is, let them become cell leaders. Did I say that? Hallelujah. Let them become cell leaders. So he made cell leaders. Did you get that? Hallelujah. He made cell leaders. People to handle different levels of people. Some 30, some 50, some 100. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 So, did you see, if you read 1 Timothy chapter 3, Titus chapter 1, did you see where Paul got his qualities of an elder from? The qualities of a bishop. Must not be covetous, truthful. Did you see that? So, Paul did not coin it from sky. We'll get to see why, how the epistles were written shortly. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So, from that Exodus, we see that the work of the elders were to teach, right? Teach the scriptures. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Quickly, 1 Timothy chapter 3. I say we'll be opening scriptures. Be fast. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And this is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop must be blameless. If you read Exodus, you begin to find his qualities, yes. The husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, and able to teach, apt to teach. Did you see that? So the qualities of a leader is that he must teach the scriptures. Did you get that? He must be able to teach the scriptures. He said, I'm not a teacher, I'm a preacher, keep quiet. We were all teachers. You don't understand. Because the first task God gives for every believer is to teach. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Say, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Say, teaching them. Say, I'm not a teacher. You know, I'm just a prophet. I'm just, keep quiet. Mm-hmm. It is just ignorance gone on rampage. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You must be, the position of a pastor, you must be able to teach. If you cannot teach the scripture, you are not qualified to be a pastor. In fact, if you read verse 6, it says, not a novice. Meaning somebody who is a novice who cannot teach should not be a pastor. Should not be a leader. You don't know the scriptures, don't teach. You just got born again yesterday, you are serious, you can't be a pastor immediately. Then I got a vision. I saw the Lord descending from the sky. Say, I'll be a pastor. Keep quiet, go and learn. A good teacher is a good learner. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You can't teach where you've not learned. You can be a good orator. That is a gift. But teaching is not a gift. It is for every believer.
Hallelujah. That don't have the gift to teach, keep quiet. Go and learn, you will teach.
Hallelujah. Amen. Did you understand that? Go and learn, you will teach. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Titus 1:9, quickly. Titus 1:9. He says, talking about the bishop too. He says, I'll start from verse 7. He says, for a bishop must be blameless, as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, covetous, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of good. A lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught.
A bishop, a leader, a teacher, a pastor was the one that has been taught. He says, man, since I was a small child, I know I will be a pastor. Yes, we know, but go and learn.
Hallelujah. Did you get that? He's a one that has been taught that he may be by able of sound doctrine, sound teaching, both to exalt and to convince those who contradict. So a teacher, a pastor must be able to teach the scriptures. Hallelujah. Amen. You can also read Acts of Apostles chapter 6, from verse 6 to 11. When they laid hands on people to become deacons, what happened? They began to teach. They began to teach. Stephen began to teach everywhere.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it's very important. You must teach.
That's it's not my calling, it's your calling by force. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, here we go.
Hallelujah.
So you see, it's very important. Let's look at, because the work of it is to teach. Look at Ephesians quickly. Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. He said, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of God of Christ Jesus, to offer you Gentiles, if indeed you've heard of the dispensation of the grace. Say, this dispensation of grace! Dispensation of grace!
Say dispensation.
When you hear dispensation of grace, he's talking about steward. It's the word steward. Steward. As in, the day I heard it, I was humbled.
I can't imagine my name. Let me
see. I said, hey! Sim. Mystery. You know what I said? Oh, teaching.
Oh, boy.
This is teaching God. You understand me? I heard a pastor, thank God I was never in that shoe.
A pastor said he used to preach like this.
No, Hebrews 11. He said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, right?
God said, faith is now. Now is faith. If it is not now, it cannot be faith. If it is not now, it cannot be. Faith must be in the now. He said, now faith is now. He said, one day, somebody just showed him. The word now is not in the original, it's in the size. He said, it's not.
When you saw it, you know there's some things you just praise not. You say, ah! Someone, series.
You understand? Just to know that, you know, just to know that that word faith just means believe in Christ. It's just, it will scatter 10 years of sermon. There's big faith, there's weak faith. Keep quiet, believe is believe.
Hallelujah. Someone gone. Glory to God. Glory to God. So I'm humble. So when I learn, when I get the CT, I just keep quiet. Study to be quiet. I'll just go to my laptop. Someone, delete. We'll continue. Hallelujah. Yes, now. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Let's look at that. Now it's a dispensation. The word dispensation, the word steward.
Steward of the grace of God. The word steward means one who is kept as a servant. It's used for a minister of the gospel. It says a minister of the grace of God, which is Christ.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
This, did you see that? The grace of God, which is given to me for you. How that by revelation he made known to me the mystery. Now he's explaining the grace. Hallelujah. He said, he made known to me the mystery which I've written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Hallelujah. Say, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, but now is revealed by the Spirit to the holy apostles and prophets.
If I dissect this thing for you, some people will not like me. But let me just leave it for today. We have a message on that.
Hallelujah. Listen to the message, the two kinds of righteousness. I spoke about this. Hallelujah. You see, what is the place of the Holy Ghost in understanding scripture? That word, the Spirit said, is a misconception. Or when somebody wants to defraud you, say, no, as I was reading the scripture, the Spirit said, he just wants to deceive you. Just quietly say, let's, what did the scripture say? Verse before we hear.
See,
now we'll get there. Glory to God. I know the mystery. Adam ate apple. Apple ate Adam. Hallelujah. Why you came to meet me? Do you know that I really ate apple? I say, how? He said, ah! He said, apple. When we discuss this gospel, by next 2 weeks, we'll start a series on this gospel. Once I'm on leave in the office, we'll have 4 days to discuss the message, this gospel. We'll look at what the word sin is on the scriptures. We'll look at Adam, what did he eat? We'll look at it, what did Adam eat? We'll look at why did Cain kill Abel? Hallelujah. We'll look at the gospel in the Old Testament. We will open the scriptures. Or we might not finish. But we'll continue series 2 in January. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. But I trust the Lord that we'll be able to look at a lot. A lot of questions will be answered. Hiring, a lot of questions will be answered. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay. Now, he said, we are in verse 4. He said, by which when you read, you understand my mystery. I mean, you understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Now, let's look at that. The word mystery is the word mysterion. We're not going to spend time there. Mysterion. It means something that needs explanation. Hallelujah. Mysterion. A word is something, the origin of the word means something that is kept that needs to be explained. Hallelujah. We'll look at that too also. Hallelujah. Now, when Paul wrote, he said, by which when you read, they say, okay, he says, you made known to me the mystery as I have briefly written to you already. Meaning, the writings in the epistles are teachings. Do you understand me? He said, which I have explained, that you understand my mystery. I mean, you understand my mystery in the knowledge of him. That is to say, the writing of the epistles, the writing of letters or the epistles is to teach, primarily, to teach Christ. Do you understand me? Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, that is, letters are written to teach the scriptures, to explain the doctrine, to correct errors. Look at Acts 15. When there were people preaching other things, from verse 1 into verse 16, the council sat and they made a decree. Do you understand me? I've told us to read Acts from verse chapter 1 to the end, so you understand what I'm talking about. Now verse 24. From verse 22, he now said, and this, it pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men with their company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, who was also named Barsabbas, and Silas, leading them amongst the brethren. And they wrote this letter to them, the apostles, the elders, and brethren, to the brethren who are the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, and Sicilia. So they wrote their decrees. They wrote their stand on the doctrine of Christ. Hallelujah. They wrote their stand on the doctrine of Christ and they sent it to them. Hallelujah. Look at verse 30. So when they were sent off, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the letters. And when they had read it, they rejoiced over it. I mean, they rejoiced over its encouragement, and Judas and Silas themselves, being prophets, also exulted. Meaning, when they were done reading the letter, what did they do? They explained it. Do you understand me? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Did you get that? Now, that is the place of your pastor. Do you understand me? You have the epistles. Your pastor is there to explain it to you. Do you understand that? Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the reason for the elders is to do what? To teach. To grow believers. Verse 14 of Ephesians 4. Verse 14, studying righteousness in Ephesians 4. This is wonderful, you know. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Verse 14. Let's look at verse 14. Very critical. It says that we should no longer be children. Remember, I said again, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, edifying of the body of Christ, we all come to the unity of faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to the perfect man, to the measure of the status of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in cunning craftiness and deceitful plotting. Do you see that? So what is the work? He said that we be no more children. Meaning the work of the elders is for spiritual growth. For spiritual growth. He used the word... He said that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, meaning the teaching of the word, the teaching of the scriptures the teaching of the scripture will make your discernment sharper. Will make your discernment sharper. It will make you discern sharply. You know what I mean? When people talk about discernment, talking about evil spirit and right. Just funny. Hallelujah. No, it makes your discernment sharper. You discern what is good from bad, what is nearly good from good, what is nearly good from good, slightly nearly good. You'll be able to know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See that he said, be no more children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, meaning you would know those doctrines are not of Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you understand me? Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
You use the word tricky of men. It's the word kobia. Kobia in the Greek. K-U-B-E-I-A. Pronounced kobia. Now it's a tricky of men, kobia anthropos. The word kobia is the word that means to fraud, to defraud someone. It's the word that means fraud or to rob. Now it's said by the tricky of men, by the fraudulent act of men. Meaning any doctrine that is not the doctrine of Christ explained from the scripture in its right form is robbery. It's fraud. Who said so? Oh, this is what tricky of men. The fraud of men. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the scripture will refer to those who teach false doctrine as fraudulent. See, I'm using my strength to talk about it. They are fraudulent. Glory to God. If you read 2 Corinthians 2 verse 17, he said, we are not of them that peddle the word. The word peddle there is the word that means those that adulterate, or not as those that adulterate, that retail. Now, when you look at this word means to exchange. It talks about something that has to do with buying and selling. Hallelujah. Tricky of men. Peddlers. If you read Hebrews 13, no, if you read 1 Timothy rather, 1 Timothy chapter 6, he says, you should stay away from those who preach that godliness is gain. Godliness is gain. Say from there, stay away. From there, run away. Hallelujah. What is godliness is gain?
When you want to take your money, give me shabby, give me nothing. Good measure, checking together. Around me. I want to go out that place.
My mind, sister. I'll explain it here. I'll ask it later. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Pastors, we have work to do. Glory to God. Yeah. Now he says, Paul called those who peddle the word, those who teach false doctrine as peddlers. They are those who would adulterate, retain the message of Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What is the message of Christ? Hebrews 13 verse 7. Hebrews 13 verse 7. He says, let's see what the message of Christ is. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow. Consider the outcome of their conduct. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Woo-hoo!
I thought this was healing.
Jesus
is the same yesterday, today,
and forever. He healed me yesterday. He's going to heal you today. He's going to heal you tomorrow. I didn't say that you did this wrong.
Hallelujah. What is he talking about? Look at verse 7 into 8. He said, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith you follow, consider the outcome of their conduct. Jesus, who is the explanation of the scripture, is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Meaning the explanation of the scripture did not change his Christ.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Did it change? Glory to God. Look at verse 9. He has said, do not be carried away. Did you see that? Immediately, he has told you the explanation of the scripture is Christ. See, now said, do not be carried away by various and strange doctrine. The word doctrine, the word didache. Strange explanations. Strange explanations. Did you see that? Do not be carried away by strange explanation, because Jesus is the same. The explanation of the scripture is Jesus the same yesterday, the same today, the same forever. The explanation of the scriptures never change. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Look at what he says. He said, do not be carried away by various and strange doctrine, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with fools which have not profited those who have not occupied with them. He said, the heart be established with grace. What does that mean? That the message of Christ is the message of God's graciousness, which is freely given. That is the message of Christ.
The message of Christ is the message of God's graciousness, freely given. Oh, you need to sow to receive from the man of God.
La, fa, 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 fao. Hallelujah. Fa, 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 fao. Not foul, foul. You know, you tap into the anointing to be holy.
Keep your holiness.
I mean him holy. Hallelujah. You don't tap into the grace.
By one time,
or what? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, we are ministers of God.
Let me use one that. You want to receive the prophetic unction? Come and touch the prophetic unction.
Hallelujah. 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 But let's look at something. This is going to break some people's heart, but I have to say it. As a minister, you teach the scriptures properly, not looking for who is preaching what is not.
There are some people that all they do on the pulpit is, this man of God is a false preacher. Not preaching that. This one. No, don't do that. As a pastor, as an elder, as one who teaches the scripture, you don't do that on the altar of Christ. You're not on the pulpit of Christ, brother. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Your job, your assignment is to teach the scripture properly. That's your job.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Teach properly. Paul taught Timothy and Titus that their role in the face of wrong doctrine, because they were in the heat of wrong doctrine. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said their role is to teach effectively from the scriptures. Let me give you these scriptures. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I've loved to read it with us. 1 Timothy chapter 4 from verse 6. First Timothy 4, 6. 4:13. 4:16. 4:30 says, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift of God that is in you, which is freely given to you by prophecy with the laying of the hands of the eldership. He says, verse 16, take heed to yourself, to the doctrine, continue in them. Say, for in doing so, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Meaning your job is to teach in the face of it. That is how you save your hearers.